Welcome to the second half of A Voice of a People here live on WGH Talk. My name is Linda Sims and welcome to the show. Alrighty, today is December the 15th of 2022. 10 days till Christmas. Hurry up, get your shopping done. Busy people, get on out there. Traffic is like swinging by. People are in a mad rush to get Christmas shopping finished. So let's get in the move and the groove and the flow of traffic, okay? Now, there remains, well, let me see, 17 days till 2023. Get your champagne ready. A lot of people toast in the new year.
Oh.
They do, yeah. Or your pop or your grape juice, whatever you use to toast in the new year. It's coming faster than you think. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. And I'm going to start with you today. Those of you who listen faithfully, whether you call in or not, I know you're out there, and thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your dedication. We really appreciate you. I want to thank my guests for being with me throughout the year. I thank God for them and their faithfulness, and I appreciate them also. Along with that, I have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce, December 17th. That takes place this Saturday beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please take this information, share it with those you may know have need of free produce, because this is holiday season for the next 2 weeks coming up, and they may need free produce. Okay. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m. will be our second annual fruit cake toss. This will take place at 217 Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 217 South Prospect Street at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. It's going to be wild out there, I'm telling you. The Marion Star will also be there. It will also be live on www.wwgh1071.com. And just scroll down until you see the black bar with the white arrow on there and just click on that. You should be able to have a round seat to the second annual fruit cake toss being sponsored by, drum roll, WGH Talk.
Okay.
Alrighty. I have a thought for today. A fragrance of positive thoughts. And it goes like this. Some people say that it is very difficult to be positive in this highly negative world. But just as an incense stick spreads fragrance everywhere and dispels bad odor, the power of constantly pure and positive thoughts can transform the negative attitudes and atmosphere of any person or place. And I pray that, you know, that will give you some insight into the day, and maybe you can share that thought with someone else. I turn my attention to my guest at this moment, Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. How are you today, Jeff?
I'm just wonderful, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to see you.
Negative? What makes you think we're negative?
That was a thought for today. I mean, it wasn't really my thoughts, but you know, there are some people out there that
remember,
are not.
This one Christmas, I was in Walmart. I mean, it was crowded. And they were selling these. And I've got this television. They had it on sale for like $100 or something. And I bought one of them a long time ago. And it's still going. It's been a good TV. And but this guy, the manager said, "I'm sorry, sir, we just sold our last one. Don't have one for you." And he, he must have went on for 15 minutes arguing with this manager. He said, "There's nothing I can do about it. They're all gone." Now, doesn't that remind you of some of the comedy about how people get so grouchy during Christmas because they're still running around buying gifts and everything?
Yes, yes.
Now, what has that got to do with the birth of Christ?
Nothing. Not begrudgingly. Absolutely not. Yeah. But they're like that all the time. When you find people like that, that is their
I see it every year.
Attitudes.
There's one incident where somebody gets all riled up, like in traffic and stuff, you know. Somebody didn't turn fast enough for them. Whatever, and they're...
Isn't
that crazy?
Yes, it is crazy. Just don't like being in riding in the car with people like that.
Yeah.
I had a cousin like that in Georgia, and she used to lay on the horn, cussing people out, you know, snatching the car to the
road
left.
Rage.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, now I'm in the car.
Yeah,
Settle down.
I get kind of mad when people ride my bumper too much.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I get that all the time, and I pull over, many times I pulled over.
Yes, get off my back,
Let them go around, you know.
Right, right.
But I think they just enjoy that. Getting up on somebody's bumper, it's fun to try to pressure somebody, you know.
To move over, yeah. Yeah.
Or just pressure you because they just... Why are they in such a big hurry? You know, they're just going to put a tombstone over top of your coffin.
Right.
You know?
That's true. That's true. Because they don't even know what's up the road, you know.
No.
They're in such a hurry.
And yeah. They get up there to a red light, and you get up right behind them.
Right. I know. Right behind them. Or right beside them. Depends on how many lanes, you know, you're riding on. But, yeah, you're so right about that.
I don't get as mad about that as I used to. I used to get really mad about that, but anymore, either I just kind of cool it or pull over and let them go. You know?
Right, right.
I think that's the best thing.
I don't like it when I'm like on 75 going to Georgia, right, and there's like three lanes possibly, but I'm like, I may be in the middle lane or outside lane, but I'm not going to let you push me over till I pass these cars that's in front of me.
Well, you know, you're trying to get, this really ridiculous, you're trying to get to a certain exit.
Right.
You get over in the right lane, and you're trying to negotiate and everything, you know. Your cars are coming up that lane there, and the guy behind you is just up on your bumper, up on your bumper. And he's got two lanes that are free over here.
Right.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
Just get in one of those free lanes and go around me.
I don't know. I wish I did.
I don't do that to people.
Yeah.
I try not to.
I try not to.
You know. But I think they enjoy it.
Some people do. That's the way they are on the road, you know. They're the king of the road. Remember that song, King of the Road?
Yeah. Well, many times I'd be coming up to my driveway and slowing down. They don't want you to slow down to turn into your driveway.
Right.
They act like they're mad because, come on, get out of my way. Hurry up. You know, it's like, wow, what's the big deal here, man?
That's right. That's so true. So how you doing today?
I am just fine. I enjoyed complaining about traffic.
Well, good thing you're not going anywhere this holiday, are you?
No.
You're traveling?
Not that I know of. Don't have any money. How do I go anywhere?
Don't even mention that word, okay?
Where's the money? Somebody give
know.
Me some money.
Somebody.
Yeah.
All these people in the store shopping, somebody has some money.
Yeah. Well, quite a bit.
Yes.
We got some good jobs, I guess, huh? At Honda and stuff. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I don't want to work at Honda, though.
I tried to get in at Honda.
I did, too, but I never got in.
I didn't either. I had three interviews and still didn't. I'm like, what?
You did? Really?
Yes.
You got to three interviews?
Three interviews.
I never even got one.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
I was willing to move my whole family.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And they never called you for...
Not after the third time. I'm like, well, what happened?
I wonder what
I had
happened.
Three interviews. Now, I'm like, come on now.
Why were you not good enough for them?
I don't know.
Well, I think you're better off anyways.
Possibly.
Some of the stuff I've heard about them.
Yeah, I was thinking about the money
at the time. Rather than the hardship of the work.
Right. I heard it was hard, yeah.
I heard that too.
So, I'll never know now. Never know.
That's all right.
Yeah, okay, that's okay. Right. Who knows? I probably wouldn't be here today. Not in this place.
That's right.
Right.
you might have been, you might not have liked it in Marysville, you know.
Well, I don't know. I was willing to try it, though.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was, for the money. I really was, yes.
Yeah, but I tried that. I never even got an invitation for an interview.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry for you, and I'm sorry for me, too, because they didn't call me, but I was willing to go.
I'm not real good about factory work, so...
I wasn't either.
I'm not a factory work person, so I've quit a couple of factory jobs. You know, I thought, what am I doing putting this application in here when I really don't even like factories?
Mm-hmm. You know? That's true. So true.
About the worst thing I can do. Well, we were talking about Grace the last time and how Grace is sorely misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. We sure was.
And even by the church who preaches grace, I don't think they understand how it applies sometimes or how it might apply to somebody that the church has this attitude. And it just seems to me that they have an attitude about lowly people that come in. You know, poor and down and out, sick and afflicted, maybe deformed from birth, or just homeless and stuff like that. They have problems, alcohol and drug problems. Does the church really deal with those problems, really?
Hmm.
You come in, you go up to the altar. How would you feel if you were addicted to something? You know, even prescription drugs or something like that. You go up front and you tell the pastor, I'm addicted to prescription drugs. I need some help, you know. A lot of times they'll refer you to a place,
mm-hmm.
which is okay, I guess. But, you know, back in the old days, they didn't have no place to refer you to. You know, you just have to trust the Lord and say, well, we're going to pray for you. We're going to love you. We'll accept you here. And you're just going to have to keep walking with the Lord as best you can until you get delivered, you know. But that's grace.
Yes.
God delivers you from... He doesn't have to do anything for us.
No, he's done it all.
Yeah. You know, when the three wise men came, they gave frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And myrrh is an embalming fluid.
Yes, it is.
And so what were they trying to say? Now, the three wise men, apparently they knew that Jesus was going to die for the people's sins. You know, and here's the embalming fluid to symbolize that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they might have done with that.
I don't either, but I know if they didn't know precisely why they was buying it or getting it for him as a gift, God the Father knew.
Yeah.
Exactly what
that
they needed to bring forth. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And I tell people, he came here to die.
Yes.
Christ came here to die, just like us. We came here to die.
Yeah.
We're not going to live forever in this body, you know. We're born, we have a day that we come, we have a day that we leave.
Yeah, and no matter what you believe.
Right.
Whether you're Christian or Buddhist or atheist or whatever you are, you're going to
live here.
You're going to have that day when it just says, that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Time for your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the graveyards are filling up. I mean, you know. And so how do we prepare? Most people don't even think about it.
What?
I don't think. Death.
Oh.
Most of the time they don't.
Well.
I know it's not a good thing to think
about. A lot
about.
Of people don't want to think about it.
Yeah,
I know,
you know.
For years I didn't, you know, want to think about it.
I don't think about it that much, you know. So, I mean, you know, it's coming. It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, you know, just a few seconds and you're gone, you know. But I don't worry about it because I know I'm redeemed.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
You know, he has requisitioned us with his blood.
It's great to have that assurance.
Yes, and I have that assurance in my heart. You know, for a number of years when I was driving the bus, I couldn't feel the Lord. I couldn't see him working in my life. I just felt like he was a million miles away. And I remember, you know, there came a day when he finally started breaking through. You know, and I was complaining about this, about, Lord, why are you so distant?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other people have said that's happened to them, but I didn't know it lasted that long. But finally, one day I was messing around on the internet, and I came across Marilyn McCoo, of all people. And she was singing To God Be the Glory. And she told a little bit about it. She said, God has taken me places I never would have dreamed, you know, and I just want to give him a little something.
Amen.
Back, you know. And when she started singing that, I felt the Lord's presence again.
Amen. Amen.
And it meant so much to me. It totally changed everything, you know.
Right.
And then I could just get up. I felt like I could get up in the morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I just really had to force myself out of bed. But I finally got my feelings back with the Lord. They say, well, feelings don't mean anything. They mean something. You know, feeling the Lord's presence. I've had him use my emotions a lot of times to give me directions.
Right.
You know, so when they say that, you know, your emotions don't have anything to do with your walk with the Lord, I totally disagree with that.
I do too.
And I remember when I was messing around out west with my friend Mike. And I was confused about a few things, and I went to a meeting, an Indian meeting, and I said, you know, they had a big bonfire out back. I said, I'm going out back, sit there. And that's when I got my outpouring and baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, oh, no, you have to be in church. You don't have to be in church for anything, you know. You can get the outpouring and baptism of the Holy Spirit anywhere.
Right.
You know, and you may be in a bad situation where you have to have God's help, you know, far away from any church, you know.
True.
You think about those guys in the military, you know, they're in a combat situation, you'd just be asking for God's help all the time, you know, and you don't have to be in a building.
Oh, no. Or on your knees. You don't have to be, you know. And I used to think that, but I learned through different teachings that you can just be walking and praying.
Yeah.
You know, you can be doing dishes and praying.
Anywhere.
Yeah. It's no certain position or stance that you have to take to pray or to ask of God for anything.
Actually, you know, bowing your head, closing your eyes, that's tradition.
That is traditional.
You know, you could just, while you're doing the dishes, you know, you keep your eyes open and talk to the Lord. Makes no difference.
Right.
I don't think.
A lot of people say, I've heard people say, watch and pray. That means don't really close your eyes.
Yeah.
So you better be watchful.
You better be watching where you're going. If you're driving the car, talking to the Lord.
Right, right.
I don't think closing your eyes would be the good of an idea.
No,
you
know? No, it wouldn't be. You know, and I thank God for, you know, just gaining wisdom from other people and, you know, living and trusting God throughout your life. And like you say, everything is not constant. We do not constantly depend on God because we're human and we do have our flesh, and it's also speaking to us all the time, you know. So,
well, there's things that we have to do. I mean,
yes,
we have to do the dishes.
Right.
We have to take out the trash. All
those. And the flesh has its own mind.
Yeah.
You know, so it's talking to you too.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I don't like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And we, just because you are born again, it doesn't mean that our flesh has stopped talking to us, because it has not. It has a voice, a loud voice. I guess
I guess you need a little bit of it, too.
Well, of course. We're on this earth.
You have to have desires.
Yes, we're on this earth.
I mean, if we didn't have any desires, it would be a pretty boring life.
Yes.
We wouldn't have anything to pursue.
True.
You know?
True. Or to look forward to. What would you even look forward to? What would you even want?
Yeah.
You know, if the flesh didn't have its desires and wants and needs.
That's why I thought about that, how you'll get a craving for something. I think I'll have some chili.
Ooh, sounds good.
Doesn't it, though?
Yes, it does.
And I think I'll have a big giant cold Pepsi.
Ooh.
Does that sound good?
I haven't had one of them in almost, ooh, wow, a good year.
Hmm.
That's one of my favorite sodas, Pepsi.
I'd love to get an ice cold Pepsi on a hot day.
Oh my, I might try one of them.
Isn't that fun?
I like the little cans. You see the little miniature cans now? Yeah.
That's not enough, though.
It's enough for me. Praise God.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about all I can handle, if that much. You know, it's cold outside right now, so I try not to stay in, you know, have too much ice.
Yeah.
Because I get chilled really easy, so.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I do.
Now we know your weakness. Cold ice.
Yes, cold ice. Yes.
I'd be looking around and be sitting there on my couch watching TV and thinking, I got to find a sheet or a blanket or something. It's just no matter. And I don't like turning up the furnace because then it's too hot. You know.
Hey, you have to give me a hand clap because I had to have my furnace serviced. And the guy told me, just find one temperature and put it on that temperature and leave it there.
Yeah.
And my furnace has been on 72 ever since he told me that. Yeah. No matter how chilled I get.
Do you get chilled?
Yeah, because I'm like, my furnace be on like 78, 76, back and forth, you know.
You might want to turn it up, you know.
Yeah, but I'm trying to deal with this 72, with the dial on 72.
Mm.
That's cold, though.
It is.
And some nights, it's cold, yeah. But I do have a bedroom that I can go in, interior, and close the doors, and it's hot in there.
Oh, is it?
Even at 72, so I'm good.
See, I can't sleep if I'm too warm.
No, me either.
So I end up peeling all the sheets off every night. I wake up and they're off.
Oh, you got a telephone call? Forgot to silence your phone? I had one earlier, but we're going to talk a little bit more about God's grace and His mercy and His love. We're getting ready to go into a new year, and we have been talking about suicide as well. And you know Ellen DeGeneres, right? She has her TV talk show, and you know her, right? Ellen DeGeneres. Her.
I've heard her name before.
I'm sure you have. She, I guess he opens up her show. He does the turntable, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he killed himself. I guess this was yesterday, and you know we
yesterday
have been
himself?
Yes, he did, and you know we have been talking about suicide and trying to encourage people to find help.
Did he leave a note or anything?
I didn't even read the article.
Oh,
but it was on my news flash on my phone, so
I've heard counselors say that people that are serious about committing suicide, they usually don't leave a note.
Really?
Yeah.
No warning.
No. And just go ahead and do it. So my mom had a friend that her husband committed suicide. And he built a house for her. And when he got done with the house, he committed suicide. I could never understand that. But anyways, he didn't leave a note or anything. They could at least tell us why.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah, it is. Because it's hard to understand if they don't tell you anything.
Yeah.
They all have different reasons, I suppose.
And even if they do, it's still hard to understand. Why was it so bad? What was so bad that you had to kill yourself? I don't understand.
Well, you know, this world is full of suffering. It's really hard to tell what kind of suffering they're going through, you know.
True.
The medical people will tell you that somebody that's been suffering from medical problems and has been through a lot of pain and continues to have a lot of pain, a lot of them commit suicide.
Here's a good one I want you to speak on. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Mm-hmm. Paul said there was a time when he despaired even of life.
Mm-hmm.
But you can understand that. How many times had he been stoned and kicked out of places and, you know, mobbed? You know, you could understand that.
Right. That's true.
But, yeah, we can come before the throne and we can ask God for help. I think a lot of times people that commit suicide do neglect that.
Turning to God, you're saying.
Come to God and say, I'm so depressed I can't live anymore. Would you please help me? You know, God quite often, you know, you'll find out that he intervenes more than you think he does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Or can, yes.
Make the sun shine through a cloudy day.
Right.
He can. You don't think he's going to.
Right, right.
I've had him do that many times.
Oh, yeah. And there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing.
You know.
Right.
This person, you thought you're going to go see this person, and you thought they were going to be in a bad mood and everything. It turns out they're in a good mood, and the rest of the day goes good like that.
True.
You know.
True. Do you think if a person kills themselves that they can be saved, or were they saved, and does that change?
You know, there's a lot of discussion out. The big thing that was the big popular belief was. Anybody that commits suicide for any reason goes straight to hell. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that God takes in all the circumstances, especially if they're a born-again Christian. Now, mm-hmm. if they're unsaved, well, they were on their way to hell anyways. And that they'll probably end up in hell because they died. But a born-again Christian commits suicide makes it a lot more complicated because your sins are wiped away. You know, you're living by grace. And so, it's like the person Carolyn I was telling you about. She was depressed all the time because she was molested as a
mm-hmm.
child.
Mm-hmm.
She was always stressed out and depressed. And, you know, sometimes she'd get into these talking fits. And she wouldn't let anybody talk. I remember we were at me and her went to a Bible discussion group, and she started talking and just wouldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the pastor said, you know, Carolyn, we'd like to move on to someone else, give them a chance to talk a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And after the thing was over, she was talking to me. She goes, you see the way he talked to me? And I said, Carolyn, you were talking. You must have talked for 15 minutes before he said anything. I mean, you can't. You took over the whole group,
right?
You know. Well, I just don't think he should have been talking to me like that. You know.
Right.
So, they're only seeing one side of things. You know, seeing things in one dimension.
Right.
And that's what happened. Now, I had a lot of depression when I had post-traumatic stress. I thought about suicide a lot. But one thing I did find out about suicide and me. I don't have the nerve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that might have been what saved me.
Okay.
I don't know, but post-traumatic's nothing to fool with. I went to a lot of counselors and stuff, and some of them were helpful, some of them weren't, you know. One thing you don't need to be looking down your nose at somebody because they're depressed.
Right.
Because they're facing awful circumstances and stuff, you know. I've been through enough hardship now that I can relate to a person that's just about any situation they're in. I can relate to them and pray for them and stuff, you know.
That's true.
Before I was saved, you know, probably not. I remember, as a matter of fact, I remember when I was in the Army, I came across a Christian group that was talking about people that commit suicide. And I was very hard-hearted about it, you know. That's your problem.
Right.
You know, what is your problem going around committing suicide? I think a lot of people that talk that stuff, you know, they talk so macho and everything and act like, you know, they would never do a thing like that. I think they're putting on for us.
Really?
I think everybody has feelings where they get their feelings hurt and things go wrong, you might lose your business or get fired or something like that. Those things can affect you very deeply. You know, you're not looking at things right after a tragedy like that.
Right. It kind of makes me think of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and he says, you know, even though God had chose him to be the prophet and ordained him, you know, he says, every time I speak God's word, every time I tell the people what you tell me to tell them, they're mad at me, you know, yeah. or they do something to hurt me, you know. So
they wouldn't listen to
right. He said, wasn't he the one that said, well, why am I alive? Or who was that? Yeah. And Job even cursed the day that he was born.
Yeah.
Job did. He went through so much hardship, you know, and
his wife said, curse God to die.
His wife told him that, but he told her what? You speak as a foolish woman. He was not going to curse God and die. Oh, no. That was out of the
question.
That'd
be a bad time to die just after you cursed God.
Yes. Yes. It would be. It would be.
I know he's got broad shoulders, though.
Yes, he does. He really does. And I think you just, it's just like, okay, God loves us as a whole.
Yes.
There's like 7 billion people, they say, on earth today. Okay. Mm-hmm. He loves each and every one of us. And all those that have come through the womb from the beginning of time to the end of time, he loves them. Mm-hmm. Right? But he also loves you individually. He loves me.
Hard to understand.
It is hard to understand. He loves Jeff. He loves you that are listening, and maybe your friend, maybe even your enemy.
Yeah.
He still loves them because God's nature is love.
Yes.
And if we could pour that into your being that you could understand God's love, maybe that would deter a lot of people from feeling so bad about themselves and their life and how things have turned out for them, you know, or nobody loves me, you know, no one cares about me.
The danger in America is this success thing, too, you know.
That, too.
You know, get out there, knock them all down, get yourself a job and buy a nice new car and new house and all that. And what if none of that works out?
And that's where a lot of people are or have been. And it didn't work out for them, you know.
No.
And then you have people who have all that money.
Yeah.
And still not happy because they don't have Christ in their life. They don't understand. I don't think now. This is just my thoughts. That God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Far beyond anybody else. He loves just you. He said, if one sheep leave the fold, say there's 100 sheep and one leaves, he's going to leave the 99 and go find that sheep that is lost. That's how much God loves just you individually.
Yes.
Just you, all by yourself, he loves you. And he died just for you.
Yeah.
Jeff's talking about God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And how he has, down through the ages, he still loves. You can't change God's love for you.
No. You see, the unbeliever misunderstands and thinks that we got to live by the law. And, you know, I've had people say to me before, different stages of my walk, say, why aren't you out there trying to help orphans? And why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? Because God just doesn't have me doing that right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't understand that. I think you're just supposed to go out there and start doing good stuff because you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not the way it works.
And there are Christians out there doing that, that have been called.
There are Christians out there doing that.
That have been called to that ministry.
Yes.
But you have been called to your ministry.
That's right.
As well. You wrote your book and you're on the air, you know, doing what God told you to do.
That's right. I do believe it'll expand, too.
Yes, yes.
You know, but I've had to do that. I remember when I first started being a Christian, God was teaching me a lot of stuff, and I didn't get a job for a long time, and my parents were just, oh, my gosh.
Too fit to be tied.
Job. And we ran into that when Mike and I were running around out on the East Coast, went to different churches, and they were like, get a job, get a job, get a job, 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 job. And I think if it had been God's will for us to do that, for one of us to do that, then he would have opened the door somewhere, you know.
But were you out there looking for a job?
No.
That doesn't mean the door wasn't open. You just didn't go seeking, right?
I just didn't want one.
Okay.
because we were searching.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What were you searching for? Do you know?
Back then, I wasn't sure.
Okay.
I know. I've always known that my calling has to do with the last days.
Right.
And there'll come a day when we have to live by faith.
And you knew that then?
I knew it then, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I knew that then.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew that I had a calling that had to do with the last days, but I just didn't have enough information yet, you know. But went ahead and walked with it. And it
okay.
was hard. It was really hard to do that. And they thought we were, you know, we had the easy life. We were, you know, living without having to go to work every day. But on the other hand, living without having food every day either.
That wasn't too good, was it?
No. Didn't enjoy that much at all. You know?
I'm sure.
But we had days that were enjoyable anyways
mm-hmm.
because of God's grace.
Right.
And there were people, you know, I remember being in people's homes and they fed us big meals and stuff, you know. And
right.
Helped us out. I remember being at the PTL club and people gave us bags of groceries and stuff, you know, for no reason. But I said, because of God.
God's mercy.
Yeah. It's just God's mercy. And I saw a lot of that
mm-hmm.
out there. So which I'll be talking about how God is, you should be preparing for what's coming.
Right.
Because, and maybe this is not the best subject during Christmas time, but there'll come a day when we don't have, it just isn't going to be any jobs. You know, I don't think, not very many.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do take a job, then you have to take the mark. So, you know.
Right. Right.
We have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith.
That's true.
You know?
So true.
So I really think that Mike and I were out there jobless so that I could use that later on when I wrote the book and started talking about it, trying to help people prepare for living by faith.
Okay.
It ain't easy.
No, it's not easy.
Very, very difficult to do that, but it has to be done in order to survive.
Yes.
And, you know, there's going to be a tremendous amount of persecution if you don't adhere to their belief system. Then you're going to be punished and killed and, you know, taken to prison and so on. Those are the days that I believe when it says that in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations. And so they'll drag Christians up before magistrates and kings and stuff and say, all right, what's your bag here?
Mm-hmm.
We want to know what you're up to. And that's when you explain the gospel to them. You know, that's when they get their piece of the gospel so that maybe they can get saved before total judgment comes, you know.
Right. Right.
Because
that's
they're
true.
Going to be believing in the Antichrist. Hopefully you can get Christ in them before he puts out the mark.
Right.
Once you take the mark, there's no hope.
No.
You've lost it.
No.
You know.
Hal Lindsey, he's doing Revelation. This is part 21, but he talked about that Sunday. After you take the mark, there's no return.
No.
You know, you make that decision. You just made that decision, and that's where you stay.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about God's grace and mercy because we believe that God has placed his mercy upon each and every one of us, you know, because the scripture says God's mercies are new every day, every morning. God gives us a mm-hmm. chance to get right what we got wrong yesterday. We always have a fresh new day,
yes.
fresh new thought, you know. And we're just really reaching out to people who may be downtrodden, who may feel like they're down and out, that there's no hope for them, you know. They just can't get past where they are in their life today. But we do understand that there is a God who loves you and cares for you and wants the best for you. Not only that, he knows your name.
Yeah.
He knows who you are. He knows where you are in
mm-hmm.
your mind, what's going on in your mind. And he also knows who's giving you those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
There's an author and finisher of those type of thoughts. Depressed, downtrodden, no hope, nothing's going to get better. Those are lies from the devil. Those are lies from Satan. And he is a liar. He spoke the first lie. He speaks of his own, and that's lies.
Well, I have to give Joyce Meyer some credit. She wrote a book called The
Battlefield of the Mind. Yes. Yes.
And it was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one place where we can defeat depression and suicide is if you don't feel like reading, get yourself an audio Bible or a visual audio Bible, put it in, and it doesn't take very much, maybe 15 minutes a day. To wash out some of those thoughts out of your head, and it will.
Yes.
It's not easy at first to get rid of bad thoughts because they've been there for a long time.
Right, right.
But if you keep praying and you keep putting that word in and listening, and listen to it, you know, listen to what it has to say, it will completely wipe out those thoughts of depression and stuff, completely set you on a different road.
Right, right.
Because you're just in a certain frame of mind.
True. And the enemy's driving those negative thoughts, you know, of distress and being perplexed. And, you know, it's like he will not allow you to move out of that if you sit there and take all that in continuously, day in, day out, you know.
I get to the point where I'm starting to feel that way. I'm starting to feel really down. And I was going, oh, man, I got to put the Bible back on.
Yes.
Got to get back in church here and start worshiping again and keep up my studies, because that's what keeps the devil away.
Yes, it does. You know, John, the book of John, St. John 6 and 63, Christ says, "These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life."
Yes.
So it's life in the words of God. There's life in his word. You know, there's salvation in his word. There's prosperity in God's word. There's peace in God's word. There's love in his word. There's joy in his word. You know, we learn so many things from God's word, and he helps us through our daily walk.
Yes.
Just like Jeff said, you know, if you can get some tapes, put them on, you know, let them, you know, play out throughout the day.
A lot of times, you know, I don't know what happened, but I can't read as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I read a few pages, my eyes start burning.
Yeah.
You know, and I get watery and can't concentrate. So I got audio Bible.
You know, okay.
I've got two or three of those, different translations. And every now and then I'll put them on to help with that.
Right.
You know, wipe out all that negativity.
Right.
And it does.
Yes, it does.
So that's one of the things that I got from Joyce Myers.
Okay. Because there's hope in God's word. There's hope.
Yes.
There's a new day in God's word.
That's right.
You know, and he's speaking to you. It doesn't matter that you're not actually reading it, but you're hearing it. And it's going into your spirit. We're just reaching out to people because our heart is with you.
We want to see the difficult part of Christmas.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I used to get kind of depressed at Christmas.
I've been depressed at Christmas as well. Yes.
Because, you know, it's just not, things are not happening like Christmas says it should.
Or you know? How man has made it to sound and to be.
It's so commercialized.
Right. You got to have this and you got to go buy that. And, you know, beyond our necessities.
Gonna have relatives over and sit there and drink hot drinks or something. And
talk, eggnog.
Talk politics.
Well, yeah. But you know, that is also the joy of the holiday season, that we can put our arms around one another and share, you know, loving thoughts and memories, good memories, you know, as being a child and all that, you know, because I believe even growing up as a child, we had good memories of Christmas. We may not have had a lot, you know, but
I had good Thanksgivings, too.
Yes. You know. Now, that's my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I had an aunt that, man, she could cook.
Okay.
We'd go over to her house. She had a big house in Green Camp.
Okay.
And we'd go in there, and she had this big, long table in there, and, oh, man, it was just a Norman Rockwell thing, you know. And it was really enjoyable. And we did the same thing at Christmas, went to her house.
Okay.
You know, we rotated it once in a while to somebody else, but she knew how to do it.
Okay.
Two big Christmas trees, two fireplaces.
Wow, I bet that was nice. Yeah. Sounds nice.
It's all gone now. Every bit of it. All those people are gone, except for my cousin Roger. He's in Texas. But there's hardly anybody left in my family.
Right, right. They're
almost all gone. So there's not even a trace of that.
Tradition is gone. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true. Who's going to carry on the traditions that we've learned, like you've learned, like you said, your family has passed on. Wow. Well, some of us are still alive, and we still have some of the customs and old traditions of our family, you know, that we learned from our parents and trying to hand them down, but
sometimes things just don't fall into place like you think they should.
No.
You know, and God will just He'll start you off in a certain place and, you know, gentlemen, start your engines. And you'll have to go down that road and you'll have to go through fires.
Right.
Time of loneliness. Times when, when Jesus was abandoned. I'm sure all the
time.
I'm sure all the leaders, you know.
Right.
Face a time of loneliness.
That's true. I do want to leave this thought, leave this prayer. Let me see where to go. Okay. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People today. Thank you, Jeff, for coming and sharing your thoughts. Don't forget the fruitcake toss is tonight at 7 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You have been listening to Linda Sims, A Voice of a People, here on WGH Talk. Until next time, be blessed and thank you.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for the holiday season.
And a big good morning to all of you. Welcome to Wednesday morning already. Yes, it is. And it won't be long. It's going to be Christmas. Did I say I'm Charlie Evers? I'll be here for a couple of hours.